You're listening to the Warwickshire Business Podcast with yours truly, Miles Grant. So Paul McGillivray is on the show today. Welcome, Paul. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Hi there, Miles. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
We were just talking before the show about, I said, Paul, just you've got to tell me how to pronounce your name. I think I'm right in saying it's a family topic. Is it that how people say your name vary? There's various different ways of saying it.
Yeah, definitely. As I was growing up, I'm from Hastings. I'm a Hastings guy. We said McGillivray. I was Paul McGillivray. That's it. And then weirdly, as I grew up, I noticed that my sister started saying McGillivray, and then my dad started saying McGillivray, and now my wife Jeannie says McGillivray. It's easier if I say McGillivray. You can write it much more easily than if I say McGillivray. No one has a clue. So let's go with McGillivray. It's closer to the original Scottish pronunciation, I would imagine.
Brilliant. So Paul, tell us, what is it that you do? Where did it start, and why did you create it?
Okay, so along with my wife Jeannie, we run a company called Remote. It's our 20th birthday this year, 1st of September.
Oh, wow, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. We're looking forward to celebrating that. So we started in September 1999 as a small website company. I was building simple HTML websites. Jeannie was designing them. She's got a fine art background. I've got a media and computer background. Within a couple of years, we were building online applications. We were a little bit brave, took a few risks and stepped out there into the world, from building our own content management system to building full-on apps. The business has just grown from there, really. So now really our speciality is that we help businesses to grow exponentially using the available technologies. So we're very interested in taking businesses and moving them online, building them a platform, helping them systemize, so automate their systems, automating as much as possible so that computers do a lot of the work, so people are free to do the work that they were born to do. We're superpower enablers.
Superpower enablers. I love that. That's beautiful. And so what's the business's vision for the future? Where do you see the business going 5-10 years from now?
So as time's gone on, we've found that we really love helping businesses that are making a positive impact in the world. So we're purpose driven and we work for purpose driven companies. That hasn't always been the case. You know, when you start a business, you take whatever work comes to you, right? But now we're getting more well known, our skills are more recognized, the kind of people that we're attracting for us to work for and to work with us have purpose and positive impact as their core values. And those are the kind of companies and organizations that we're really enjoying working for now. So going forward, I see that being a massive part of our future. We really want to make a difference in the world. And we find that the best way to make that difference is by helping companies that are already making a difference, help them to scale up, help them to have a bigger reach, help them to have a much more impressive impact in the world. And that's how we change the planet from our point of view.
Beautiful. And what would you say are some of the obvious mistakes that you think some businesses are making when it comes to business growth, when it comes to getting more customers, when it comes to keeping more customers, when it comes to maybe leading their team? What would you say are some of the really obvious glaring mistakes that you think that some businesses you see making?
So I think I might twist that question by giving you an opposite answer. I think what I see businesses doing more and more now that's really working, that wasn't maybe the case before, is taking a lean methodology, which is something that comes from computer programming ideas, and using that across the business. So I don't know if you know The Lean Startup by Eric Ries.
Yes,
And Mei Chang has also just released a book called Lean Impact, which is how to apply those methodologies to positive impact organizations. And the basic concept that we're doing more and more in our business, and we're encouraging our clients to do too, and it's really effective, is instead of having a product and saying, okay, this is what I want to build, this is what I want to put out in the world, it's going to be this big, it's going to do this and this and this and this and this, just give me a year to build it and then I'll launch it, And I know this is the opposite of how you work too, Miles, so I know that we'll resonate with this one. You say, okay, what's the MVP? What's the minimum viable product that I can put out into the world quickly to get feedback? Because my idea might actually not work. And how do I know that unless I put it out there straight away and get that feedback? So don't try and build your business and build your product until it's perfect and then release it to the world, because you might find that you're the only one, you and your mum are the only ones that are interested in that product, right? And so taking this lean approach, this MVP approach, what's the smallest thing I can do to get it out there and get feedback? Then what you find is you actually give your customers what they want, as opposed to what you think they want or what you want them to want.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, imperfect action beats perfect inaction. That's the saying that's just resprung to mind.
Absolutely. And our mutual friend Daniel Priestley often says prolific beats perfect. That's absolutely a good one.
Yeah. What's tell me because I know that you're really committed and passionate about learning. What's a business book what's one that maybe you're currently reading? You've mentioned a couple already. Maybe what's the best book that you can speak to? A couple of books that you've read that you go, oh my God, they're great business books that everyone that's listening must at some point read.
Okay. It's really difficult for me, as you said already, I read a lot, so it's really difficult for me to pin one down. But I think probably indirectly the reason why you and me met, so the reason why this is happening, so let's the book that's had the biggest impact on the last 12 months for me is Oversubscribed by Daniel Priestley. I'd read Key Person of Influence directly before that. I just immediately downloaded Oversubscribed on, so I finished that. And by the end of reading that book, I was pacing up and down the apartment. We were on holiday at the time. Funnily enough, we just come from Miami, which is where you're headed off to today. we were over in Miami for my brother's wedding, and I decided to extend the trip and go to the Bahamas, which was awesome. So I was in this apartment by the sea in the Bahamas reading Oversubscribed, and I was literally pacing up and down with excitement, because we've been running the business for, 18, 19 years at that point. And I hadn't been taught this stuff. I didn't know that people were doing this stuff. And for those of you that haven't read the book, it's really all about how to create a business that has so much value and offers so much to your clients and potential clients that people are queuing around the corner to take your services on. That changed my business, because not only had I learned some amazing stuff, the moment we got back to England, I was like, who is this Daniel Priestley? I need to find out what he's doing. I was like, oh, he's in Australia. No, he's moved from Australia. He's in England. And 2 weeks later, I was at the Influence and Assets seminar. The day after that, I was in a strategy session with Dan and signed up for KPI 24.
Similar journey, I think.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a very familiar one. So that's a big book for me.
Yeah.
I also think I really, really love the work of Cal Newport. He wrote a book called Deep Work, which I think is brilliant, all about how important it is to take time out from your business and take time out from the day-to-day running of your business to really go into your proper work, your real work. And he talks about lots of really well-known and successful artists, business people, scientists who have this practice. And when I started doing that, it made a real difference to the way I ran my business. And lastly, by Cal Newport, I've got to drop So Good They Can't Ignore You. So I talk a lot about purpose. I talk a lot about meaning. I talk a lot about finding your passion. And that book really goes into that, because we're often told, our generation particularly, I think, Miles, we're often told, find your passion. You know, you've got to find what you love to do and go and do that. And what Newport found is that actually, for a start, a lot of people that do find their passion, that isn't actually what makes them happy. He gives an example of a guy that was determined to be a Buddhist monk. It was all he lived for. And he finally became a Buddhist monk, and Newport met him like 6 months or a year afterwards, and he was miserable. It wasn't actually right for him. It didn't suit him. And he'd spent all this energy trying to follow his passion. But at the same time, the opposite, if you, whatever it is that you do, if you can really lean into that and master that craft, whatever it is, whether it's running a business, whether it's writing, whether it's making music, whether it's being an athlete, if you can really give it your all and apply deliberate practice to that thing, then what you find is that you improve at that. Using deliberate practice, you improve way more than just if you just say, yeah, I do this, and you do it every day. Applying this particular practice means that you achieve mastery sooner. And when you achieve mastery, your passion for that thing flows. And when you achieve mastery and passion, then you find yourself at the edge of a precipice in your career where you can call the shots, you can see what's coming next. And that's where you find your mission and your purpose. And all of a sudden, your life bursts into existence in Technicolor. That's my experience of the last 2 years of running this business and applying those principles. So yeah, that's a great book.
Amazing. I know you also value great mentors. Who's been a great mentor to you, or who've been some great mentors to you? And it doesn't have to be just business, but who've been some great mentors to you? And maybe what's the best piece of business advice that maybe one of those mentors has given you?
I think even though it's part of the accelerator, the KPI accelerator course, and so I don't get a lot of one-to-one time with Daniel apart from, you know, the odd chat on the course, I think what he and the KPI community has taught me over the last year has just been incredible. I think actually what it is with Daniel, you know, the dent values: be brave, have fun, and make a dent. They sounded, when I first came across them, they sounded almost frivolous. There was like, there wasn't any depth there for me, but actually really learning those values: be brave. What we're doing right now is terrifying. Running a business is terrifying, right? It's not easy. You know, we have this Instagram veneer of running a business. You know, look at me in this amazing hotel and having lunch with this amazing person and all that. And people often that aren't running a business go, wow, yeah, the entrepreneur, that's the life. But the reality is, it's painful, it's lonely, it's difficult, it's stressful, it's worrying. As you start to succeed and you take on more staff, you have mouths to feed, mortgages to pay. It's difficult. And so you have to be brave, because to keep moving, and this is, I don't know whether this is a piece of business advice that's been given to me, but, or whether I've learned, to be honest, but if you keep moving with your business, then your business holds its life. And it continues to give you joy, and it continues to offer value. If you stay doing what you were doing last year and the year before, it starts to stagnate. It's like water. And so what I've learned is that you have to be brave, because you have to keep stepping out of your comfort zone. And as you do that, that's the road to mastery, for a start. You can't master anything if you keep doing what you know. You have to keep stepping out, keep pushing yourself. And so if you do that with your business and have the courage to do that, all sorts of opportunities come to you that you couldn't possibly imagine. I'm having meetings and planning things that 5 years ago I would have been horrified at, because of the audacity of this kind of thing. But being surrounded by people like you and the other people in the KPI community and the business community at large, I'm surrounded by people that are doing that kind of thing all the time. You know, I'm surrounded by people that are doing podcasts, writing books, creating TV shows, creating documentaries, appearing on panels in front of thousands of people. Hell, I did a TEDx talk last year. Tell me 5 years ago that you're going to stand on the TEDx stage and give a talk about purpose and business. I would have laughed and ran. But when you're surrounded by a community of people that are doing that too, for whom that's normal, people that it's not about bravado when I say courage, right? We're vulnerable. You know, we've had conversations where we're vulnerable with each other and we talk about our fears and our concerns. But when you're surrounded by a group of people that share those and empathize those and can support you, then we feel the fear and do it anyway. Hell, this feels like it might be a Bruce Willis or a Tom Cruise quote or someone. It's someone like this. I'm sure I remember saying, you know, we all get scared, but the difference is that we get scared and still step into it. And that's real courage. Whereas, and so you have this idea of, oh yeah, yeah, that person there, I don't know, Grant Cardone might step in front of 30,000 people in an arena, and you imagine that he's fearless, that he's not, just before he steps onto that stage, going, oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to do this. Look at all those people. What am I going to say? What if I forget what I'm going to say? I'm sure he still does that. But the fact is, he feels it and goes, onto the stage, let's do this. And so that's been a massive lesson for me. I feel that fear and just push through anyway.
Amazing. So a slight segue. What's a key performance habit that's nothing to do with the business that you feel is really important to the business? For me, you know, working out first thing in the morning, meditation first thing in the morning, journaling, you know, what I'm proud of, you know, kind of self-reflection is really important to me. What are some key performance habits that you think most people, oh yeah, they don't see that, like you just said there, they just see the Instagram success thing, they don't see the hard work and the slog that goes in behind. What's a habit for you that Paul, that's really vital to you on a daily basis?
Very similar to what you've just described, actually. Funnily enough, in that same Bahamian apartment.
Yeah, I reckon that's right.
After I read Oversubscribed, the next book I read was Hal Elrod, Miracle Morning. Mm,
great.
And that I was journaling already, but his process, the Savers idea. So Savers is silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing, which he sort yes. almost cringes as he says S for scribing, but he means journaling, but that's how he gets the Savers, right?
Yeah.
That for me was pulling lots of things that I've done throughout my life and turning it into a routine. And although I'm not great at keeping that habit, I'm working on it again. I journal a lot. I do the journaling. I find easy. I meditate quite a lot too. And with your help, towards the end of last year, the exercising is becoming more and more of a habit. I find that when I do those things, I get up early in the morning, I have my bulletproof coffee, and I write my journal. And depending on how long that's taken me, I also do some exercise and I meditate. It sets me up for the day. It grounds me. It gets my head clear, so I know what I'm going to be doing this day before I've checked my email, checked my social media, and been pulled off into 1,000 possible alternatives for the day. Jim Quick said it brilliantly. I retain my sovereignty of my day, and by writing my journal and saying, what am I grateful for? What is the big thing I'm going to accomplish today? Why is this important? And when I've said this before anything else has distracted me, even a conversation has distracted me, then I can step into the day feeling confident, and I'm much more likely to get those things done.
Amazing. Brilliant. Last couple of questions, because I know you've got a busy day yourself. What do you think you'd be doing, Paul, if you weren't doing this? So this question really lends itself back to maybe some childhood things that maybe you often used to think about doing. What would you think you'd be doing if you weren't doing what you're doing now?
So around the time I was doing my A-levels, and even actually, I think when I went off to college, I was absolutely convinced that I was going to be a music producer full time. I've made music all my life. I've still got a music studio. I still make music occasionally. Wow. Business has kind of pushed that out the last couple of years. So I've released various records over the years. I've been in bands. Remote, the actual company name of Remote is Remote Recordings Limited, because we started as a record label.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But when we had 10 bands signed to the label, we were about to do a nationwide tour, we had a distribution deal with Universal Records. This is when it was all about vinyl and CDs. And we realized that this internet thing was going to be something big in music. We didn't know how it was going to affect it, and we weren't clear on how much it would completely disrupt the industry at that time. But I was like, I should probably work out how to build a website, because we probably need a website for the bands and for the label. So I taught myself how to build a website. And from then on, everything snowballed. Friends started wanting websites. A journalist came to interview us about the tour we were organizing. He said, by the way, who did your website? Because I need one for a DJ battle. And so that's how we turned into a web company. So we actually relaunched a record label a couple of years ago, Cold Hill Records, for my own music. And our daughter now is a music producer and she's in a band. And so it's absolutely a side passion hobby. It makes absolutely no money, but it's something that we love doing. So I like to think that if I wasn't doing this, I would be doing that. Although actually I'm not convinced I'd be able to survive doing that because it's very difficult to make money in the music industry now. But I've still got my studio and I still love doing it.
I think that's a great lesson there. You talked about the monk earlier, and that I just think that's a great lesson. That the business name has come from that and you're still doing it. I just think that there's a lot to be learned from that, just about, you know, doing the things that you feel passionate about, and just whether they don't have to be exactly the way that maybe they once were thought out. You know, I think that's amazing.
You know what? last night, we're down in London at the moment. We've got a load of meetings in London today, and Jeannie and I went to a Dim Tea, a Dim Sun restaurant around the corner from Tottenham Court Road last night. Yeah. And my fortune cookie, let me see if I can get this right. It was awesome. It said something like, you can't control the direction the wind's blowing, but you can adjust the sails accordingly. And I thought that is so true, because we try and control our life and we try and say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing today. I talked about the journalism, you know, the journaling. This is my plan. Man makes plan, God laughs. But what we can do is go with the flow and say, okay, so this is happening. What's my reaction to that? That's the only thing we can really control, our reaction to events. So that's what we've done. I planned to be a big hip hop and drum and bass producer. That didn't happen. But you know what? I'm glad that didn't happen, because what I'm doing now gives me immensely more satisfaction and helps immensely more people than a career in hip hop or drum and bass would have ever given me or anyone else. I absolutely love what I do, because 20 years in, we're at this point, we've gained enough career capital where we're nailing what we're doing. We love what we're doing. We're making a real difference in the world. And wow, if I'd had the pressure on my music career, it's got to pay the mortgage, it's got to raise my daughter, it's got to support my wife, it would have been miserable. You know, oh, I've got to do another two gigs this week to pay the mortgage. No way do I want to put that on the thing that I was born loving. I've got a friend who actually that happened to. He was making music and he was loving making music, and all of a sudden he was lent some money to make it a full-time career. And the sudden pressure of this has actually got to earn me a living actually wrecked his ability to make music. So I'm really pleased that the thing that I love to do is a side thing, and the thing that I do to make my living actually is the thing I love to do even more now.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Paul. So last question. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that have heard this who want to connect with you beyond the show. What is the best way for listeners to connect with you moving forward?
Okay, cool. So I have a personal website, paulmcgillivray.com, and that's got links to all the other places you can find me. So that's the simplest way to find me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that. Also, our company Remote, just remote.online is our URL, and you can see the kind of work we're doing and the kind of people we're working with. We'd love to talk to you if it sounds like the kind of thing you'd like to work with us on.
Amazing. Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
I've loved this too. Thanks so much, Miles. And have a great trip to Miami. It sounds like it's going to be awesome out there.
I will. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, feel free to hit share. There should be a button somewhere where you can share the show with your friends, colleagues, family members, cats. Maybe that's just me. But feel free to share the show, and we'll see you on the next one. Be sure to hit subscribe as well so that you get notified of future episodes. Have a great day.